basics course that we've been going through, but I've almost backed out of that. I've been blessed so much by just going through these things. This is what this upcoming Thursday will be my 28th year at the company where I work. And so people find that out and they say, well, you should know everything. I have forgotten more than I remember, I promise you. And that's the kind of way this is with these basics, okay? We know this stuff. We've learned this stuff in the past, and we believe this stuff, but we have forgotten this stuff too. And so as I'm going through the basics of God's Word and the basics, the fundamentals of our faith, I am reminded of stuff, and I am blessed by remembering that stuff and seeing it once again in Scripture. So this morning, we're going to do a short one on missions. And Brother Chris alluded a couple of weeks ago to the fact that I believe Bible Baptist Church finished the year out in $80,000+, which is phenomenal for the size of our church. And so you believe in missions. Our church believes in missions, and that's a good thing. And the way I want to start out the lesson is to go to Luke 24 and read a couple of verses there, Luke 24. Starting in verse number 45, Luke 24:45. Luke 24:45 says, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high." There were so many good verses on which I could have started this morning. I chose that one because it's going to fit in very nicely with how we're going to start this little short basics on missions, the lesson. Many, I guess about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years, we were in the book of John. You remember that? We went through John 1 through John 25. Took a long time to do that, but the very first verse of John was in the beginning, not in the beginning, that's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the way we looked at that verse for 2 or 3 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, was the fact that right there at that point in time, God the Father put into motion that process which brings us to Him. And that started right there in John 1:1, where Christ left the heavenlies next to His Father in glory, and He came down in the form of a man to this earth with a message. And He lived a life, and He taught a message. And then when he finished His lifetime, His 33 and a half years on this earth, he got the church to finish that message. He gave us the mission to continue what He had started. That's why your handout says, "At the conclusion of His earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ committed His church to the continuance of His work of redemption. He spent a lifetime giving that message." Now, I say lifetime. His ministry was three and a half years. He lived 30 years before that ministry. But He was preparing for this message that He gave us. And when He went to the Father to ascend into heaven and to be with His Father, He gave the burden, no, not the burden, that's a bad word to use, the responsibility, the privilege of continuing this message to the church. This is our job now. He says in John 20, verse 21, "As my Father hath sent me, even so I send I you." So we have this message, and we're to duplicate those things that are done by the Lord and that are taught, that were taught by the Lord without change. Now, he did a lot that's not in scriptures. You remember, in fact, I bookmarked it. John 21, verse 25 says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." That's the way John puts that. Now, he's given us a picture there that a lot happened in the ministry of our Lord that he didn't tell us about. But my friends, what we read today in this little short lesson on missions, he did leave with us. He told us exactly what he wanted. And it's very important that we look at that. And we see right off the bat three things that was important to him. Number one, and this is the first little, the two lines that you fill out. The first thing was Jesus made and baptized disciples. That's what was important to him. On this earth, for those 3.5 years of ministry, that's what was important to him. He made and baptized disciples. And if the church, if you and I, as God's people, are going to do what he did and continue what he did, we're going to do that. We're going to make and baptize disciples. John 4:1 says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John," that was important to him. Well, not only did he make and baptize disciples, it didn't stop there. But your next line is Jesus taught and trained his disciples. That was what was next as important on the scale. Matthew 5:2 says he opened his mouth and taught them. All through his ministry, it was important for people not to just become a follower of the Lord, but to be taught the scriptures, to be taught what it was all about. We read the Word of God and we see how important it is for me and you not to just be saved and know we're going to heaven and have that assurance. That's all very, very good and very well important. But he expects us to learn the things of God. He expects us to learn his word. So Jesus made and baptized disciples. Jesus taught and trained his disciples. And then next, he built his church. These people who were made disciples and baptized as disciples and taught and trained as disciples, they were then incorporated into this wonderful entity called God's church. Amen? And that's why we're here today. That was the message that Jesus spent a lifetime teaching, literally. And now he wants us to do that same message. He wants to continue that same message with us. Now, we're going to look at basically four things if we don't run out of time. And knowing me, I'm probably going to run out of time, okay? We're going to look at four things. The biblical basis for missions. And these are the highlighted, darker, bold font on your underlined handout. The biblical basis for missions, number one. Number two, the biblical plan for missions. The biblical challenge that God's people have for missions, or that they should have for missions. And then, excuse me, number four, biblical ways to support missions. And as I said a moment ago, you know all of this, but it's refreshing to us. It's good for us to see this, especially coming off of a year where Brother Chris just said we had that this church had a $86,000 or something like that in missions. Well, this is why we do that. This is why people love missions, is because they deem it, they believe it's important because of how Christ taught in his message, in his job, for lack of a word, I can't think of the word that I need. His most important thing that he left heaven for was to bring us to him, the message of how that is done. And now it's our job. And one of the ways we can do that is through missions. Okay, the biblical basis for missions. Now, you see four different passages, actually five different passages of Scripture there. I'm not going to take time to read all of them, but I do want to read portions of those. And we're going to see a thing that starts to develop as I read these, okay? The first thing I'm going to read is Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Then we go to Mark, and we're going to only read two verses from Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We're going to see in just a moment that that is the biblical definition of what missions should be, is that message right there. Very simply put, that is a very simple definition of missions, and the message of missions is he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Missionaries go across the world to give that message. You and I should have a desire to give that message right there. And then we come to the third passage of Scripture, which we opened with, Luke 24:45. And I'm only going to read the first verse this time because it's important. It's a part of missions. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. A missionary doesn't just go to their place of on the field and witness and get people baptized and saved, but rather they spend a lifetime there building a church and training people. It's such an encouragement to see. I think one of the last ones we saw was it the McClures, but for over 35 years of ministry on the field, all these churches and institutes that were created down through the years where people are getting saved, and then they're learning their Bibles. They're learning God's Word. In some of these areas, they don't have all of our luxuries. They don't have all that you and I have to distract us. And they soak themselves into the Word of God, and it is such a privilege for them. They see how wonderful that is. Well, you and I, we live in a culture where we've got distractions galore. 300 channels on TV, and not counting the online deals that you can watch on demand. We got so much going on, and so it's very easy for us to forget that this is a great privilege to learn the Word of God. This is a wonderful privilege. I've told you this probably hundreds of times now, but one of my most special times of the week is Wednesday night when we come into this place. And brother, it's always, Brother Chris is short, he's 20 minutes probably, 20, 25 minutes at the most, straight teaching. And Brother Stacy, it's not hardly any preaching, but it's teaching. And you just learn the Word of God. You just soak it up. And that's one of my most favorite times here. The next passage on your sheets is John 20, verses 19 through 23. And I'm just going to read starting in verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again. Now you're going to see a common denominator in all of these verses. Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now, this verse doesn't give us the authority to forgive sins, but what it does do is saying here, Jesus is saying that the believer can boldly declare the certainty that a sinner's forgiveness by the Father is possible by the work of his Son if that sinner has repented and believe the gospel. And the very opposite is true as well. The believer, with certainty, can also tell those people who do not respond to the message of God's forgiveness through faith in Christ that their sins are not forgiven. Now, that's not because we have some ability. It's just that we're agreeing with what he says. You remember back in Matthew 16 where Jesus says, I will build my church. I'm actually going to turn there. This is the same thought. Let me read this to you. Matthew 16, verse 19. And I will give, Jesus is speaking, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, we don't have the power to do anything as far as dictating anything, but we know we do have this right here. When we say what is in the Word of God, when we say what the Word of God says, then we can say with certainty that that's exactly what God wants. We can take that for salvation. We can take that for doctrine. You say, well, you can't be so dogmatic. Yes, I can, because it's a matter of belief. This is the Word of God. And He tells us all throughout His Word that we should believe His Word, and that's the only thing that we should believe. I am at Bible Baptist Church because there's a pastor here and a people here that believe that way. Simply put. So the basis for missions, if you take the time to read all of those verses, Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, all those verses that I really pushed through very quickly gives us the basis for missions, the biblical basis. What is our church to do? This is a question on your handout. Well, I just put to go, teach, and baptize, very simply. All those verses that I read, that's the basis of what He's telling us to do. To go, give the message, go, teach, go, baptize, and go, build His church. That's the bottom line. Number two, what is the extent of our mission field? The uttermost parts of the earth, as Acts 1, verse 8 says. What is the message of our mission work? Well, I just put Mark 16, verse 16, the one that says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And the flip side of that, he that believeth not shall be damned. That is the gospel right there. That is what missions is all about, spreading the gospel. Where do we get our power to engage in mission work? Well, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost gives us the power to do that, and we're going to see that here in just a minute. So we see the biblical basis for missions. Now we see the biblical plan for missions. And I'm going to read five verses to start off with. Acts 13, verse 1 through 5. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they, this is the church sent them away. And so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Now, when God called these two men to be missionaries or evangelists, from where did He call them? From whence did He call them? Your handout says. The church. He took them from the church. Letter B says, how would you describe the kind of men God called to be missionaries? Well, this is the way I worded it. Men who were, because they were led by the Holy Spirit, they were willing for God to use them as He saw fit. They were already in the church. They were already sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And once they made themselves available, God used them in wonderful ways. That's how He works. Letter C. Look up 1 Thessalonians 2:4 and 1 Timothy 1:2. Who calls and equips men to be missionaries? God. God calls them. The church sends them. and the Holy Spirit leads them. That's what we trust missions to be. That's what God's word teaches it to be. Letter D, according to Acts 13, verse 3, who is to send missionaries? The church. Acts 13, verse 1 says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. That's where they were. After God called them, the church sent them to these areas. In your handout list, a very important statement that I included. The Bible plan is for evangelists or missionaries to be financially supported by New Testament Baptist churches, prayed for by New Testament Baptist churches. That's very, very important. And sent out by New Testament Baptist churches. Now I want to talk about, real quick, mission offices. And we use a wonderful mission office, the World Baptist Fellowship Mission Agency. Now that is, that per se, that topic is not mentioned in the Word of God. But the mission agency is composed of churches who agree on what they're doing, okay? They're doing it God's way by these churches getting together. And that's, the way we have to think about that is, it's like any gathering of people. If we have a gathering of people who are sensitive to the Lord's leading and allowing God's word and God's spirit to help us know how to think and talk, that's good. The only time it goes south is when we don't do that. Amen? When we start doing what we want to do. And so mission offices and mission fields and mission boards are, they can be useful when God's people cooperate with his spirit and with each other. And what we see in the Word of God is that the local church sends the missionary, and sometimes because of the legalities of certain areas and language barriers, it's good when churches band together and they do this together, and that's what we are a part of here at Bible Baptist Church. But it's still the churches doing the sending. It's still Bible Baptist Church sending Misha to her place and the McClures to their place. Letter E says, according to Acts 13, verse 4, when a church sends out an evangelist, how is that missionary led into his work? That verse says, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Well, the Holy Ghost did it. That missionary is led in his work by God's Spirit. How important that is. Why would we think that's any different? That's what he wants to do in our lives day to day. So if we do an endeavor for him, if we become missionaries or if we support missionaries, we want God's Spirit to be calling the shots, don't we? That just makes sense. Letter F, according to Acts 13, verse 5, what is the missionary to do when he gets there? Preach the word of God. You see, we all know this. Verse 5 says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. So they preached the word of God, and letter G, they do something else. According to Acts 14, verse 23, missionaries are to establish a church from those won to Christ and that are baptized. That verse says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So they took the believers that had been trained and baptized, and they created a church. That's the most important part of a missionary. Now, you know, Misha is part of an orphanage, and that is a good side mission. But if you know Misha, you know what she's doing. She's given those little kids the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when those kids are saved, they are becoming part of that church that she is affiliated with over there. Doug, I forgot his last name, that pastor over there. But first and foremost, the message is given. Now, you know, it's good when we have the means to do a medical missions or educational missions or agricultural missions. Those are all good because people, we can be a blessing to other people, can't we? But first and foremost, the message of the gospel is what needs to be a part of the mission work. Everything else needs to be number two, number three, number four. That's what we see in the Word of God. It's most important for His Word to be preached and for His church to be established. That's His plan right there. Now we see the biblical challenge for missions. Letter A, what is every Christian to realize? Well, the time for missions is now. John 4, verse 35 says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." We just have to open our eyes up and see that, hey, people are there. All we got to do is give the message. They're there. Letter B, what is there a great need for today? Laborers. "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Letter C, what should be our prayer? He says there, our Lord says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Should be a big prayer of every person here. Should be a big prayer of every person at Bible Baptist Church. God, give us laborers for the mission field. God, lead upon people who are saved in this church and who are starting their Christian life. Give them a burden to shed, to share the gospel, whether it's here or whether it's somewhere else. Letter D, what question should we ask the Lord concerning missions? Oh, this is pretty important. Acts 9, verse 6 says, "And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Ooh, that's a loaded question right there, isn't it? That's pretty important. What question should we ask the Lord concerning missions? Well, you know, if I can't go and if I don't have any money, I need to be asking God, what do you want me to do? We should be asking that anyway. Where do I start, Lord? What do I support? Who do I support? Do I need to go? Like I said, that's a loaded question. So there we see the challenges of missions. And very quickly, as we wrap it this thing up, we see the biblical way to support missions. Now, you know what that is. That's giving financially. With a right attitude and a good motive. What's the right attitude? Well, the right attitude is to do it out of a deep love for God's work. I love what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 3. He's talking about the Corinth church supporting his ministry. And he says this right here in 2 Corinthians 8, 3. "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power." Paul's saying, man, they did so much that they even could do. They gave way beyond their means. That's what he said of them. We should have that kind of an attitude, to give way beyond our means. We should have the attitude that he had in 2 Corinthians 9, and that's giving with a cheerful heart. And then we should have the attitude that Paul had in 2 Corinthians 10. He says in 2 Corinthians 10, 16, "to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you." It's pretty simple. We can have an effect in Slayton. We can have an effect in Lubbock or Post. But part of our burden, part of our prayers should be that God give us people who have a desire to preach the gospel in the regions beyond us. And that's what missions is all about. And then we're to pray for our missionaries. If you'll see there, there's 4 or 5 ways there. First of all, we need to pray for deliverance from unreasonable and wicked men for our missionaries. Paul says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men." If you have a concern for our missionaries, pray that God give them free course to do their ministry, give them utterance, discretion on what to say, and then deliver them from unreasonable and wicked men. And then number two, pray for utterance and boldness. Paul says, and for me that utterance, what's an utterance? Well, it's really just a word. It's the wisdom to know what to say. It's an unction. And for me that utterance may be given, and to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Here Paul's in prison when he writes this. And he's not praying that he be released from prison or more comfort or food, whatever. He's praying that he'll have utterance and boldness in shedding the message of the gospel of Christ. And that's how we should pray, that our missionaries have utterance and boldness in their ministry. Number two, pray for a good, clean conscience before God. Hebrews 13:18, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and in all things willing to live honestly. A missionary is no different than us. We should have a desire to be sincere before the Lord, to be honest before Him, to be open before God. And then number four, pray for God to be glorified in our lives and that we're used by Him. The verse that we read just a moment ago. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. So see, we see some very practical ways to pray for our missionaries, that they be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, that they would have the boldness and the courage to preach the gospel, that they would have a clean conscience before the Lord, and that God is exalted and glorified in their life. And then the last thing we'll see is God blesses a mission-minded church. Paul talks about that in Philippians 4. Now, if you remember, we studied a couple of chapters in Philippians, and what we found out of all the churches that supported Paul, the people of the church at Philippi seemed to love him the most. You remember that? He alludes to that many times in his letters. The people of Philippi gave to him and over and over and over again. But he says something in Philippians 4, verse 17. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul's saying, you guys have been so good to me. You guys have supported my ministry. And I'm so grateful for that, not that I received a gift, but I'm grateful that this work has been done, because that is now fruit in your account before God. All the good that we see that's done in those videos when these missionaries come by and they show the what's been done on the field, that's fruit to our account. Amen? That's because people are giving of themselves in a missions program, and that is happening. So which church helped Paul financially? The church at Philippi. What abounded to the heavenly account of this church? Fruit. Results. What did God promise to supply for this church? Well, we see that in verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He will supply their needs if they will pray and support his missionaries. Now, at the end of your handout, there's a little phrase there. I had heard this a long time ago, but I saw it when I was doing this, and I wanted to include it. A missionary is God's child in God's place, doing God's work in God's way, by God's power, for God's glory. Isn't that neat? Go home and think about that one. You have to separate it into your mind in six different things: God's child, God's place, God's work, God's way, God's power, and God's glory. That's a missionary. God help us to be faithful to our mission work, whether we're doing it personally or we're supporting the mission program at our church. Help us to be faithful to do that. Would you pray with me?